Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to our in-person Bible study at the church in the Fellowship Hall on Wednesdays from 5:15 until 6 p.m. Some of you may remember our discussion on 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 14, back in June of this year, when we talked about Naaman and the comments that were shared there about leprosy. To quickly review, the leprosy in the Bible is more a term of convenience than a medically accurate one. The Hebrew term translated leprosy is zeraat, and it refers to skin blemishes and eruptions that rendered one ritually unclean and consequently resulted in social stigma and exclusion. The term does not refer to Hansen's disease, commonly referred to today as leprosy, a disfiguring and disabling bacterial disease. More likely, the term as it is used in the Bible referred to a number of different skin diseases, including but not limited to impetigo, psoriasis, and eczema. They're all possibilities. According to Numbers chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, any person with a leprous disease was required to live outside the camp. And according to Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, they were to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," whenever anyone approached. According to Leviticus chapter 14, verse 23, if a leper was fortunate enough to recover, a priest had to certify that the person was clean before they could return to the community. Luke provides us with some realistic details. As we see in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3, lepers tended to live in groups. And again, according to Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, and Numbers chapter 5, verse 2, and also 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 12, they avoided contact with non-lepers, but kept close enough to populated areas to receive charity. And Jesus' command to show themselves to the priest was according to the law in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2 through 32. This story is only found in the Gospel of Luke. In our passage blends elements of the healing of Naaman the Syrian in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 through 14, and the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verse 29 through 37. At verse 11, Luke tells us that Jesus is traveling from Galilee to Jerusalem, which means Jesus is traveling from north to south. But according to Luke chapter 9, verse 52, Jesus has already gone from Galilee into Samaria. And since most Jews avoided going through Samaria, they went around it, it seems likely that Luke is using the Galilee-Samaria border to introduce a story involving both Jews and a Samaritan, and to explain Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan leper in our passage. At verse 13, the text literally says the 10 lepers raised a voice. In other words, they called out in unison. The title "Master," used here in reference to Jesus, only occurs in Luke, and this is the only time it is used by someone other than the disciples. The call for mercy would normally have been a request for alms, for money, but it is possible that the request for mercy could be understood as a request for healing. At verses 14 and 15, the phrase "Jesus saw them" carries a nuanced meaning and sets up the later notice at verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back. In both cases, seeing means more than just physical sight. It means, on the one hand, perceiving the opportunity to be merciful toward another, and on the other hand, the recognition that God's mercy has touched one's life. The actual report of the healing is literally, "And it happened that as they were going, they were made clean." The point of the story, however, is not the healing, but the response of those who were touched by God's mercy. Notice, the leper falls at the feet of Jesus. In earlier contexts, at chapter 5, verse 12, and chapter 8, verse 41, those who have fallen at Jesus' feet have done so to plead for his healing mercy. So the action here stands in contrast to mark the intensity of the leper's gratitude. At verse 16, we come to the twist in the story. The leper who returns to give thanks is a Samaritan. We've already spoken about the social boundaries and relations between Jews and Samaritans when we discussed the parable of the Good Samaritan, so we don't need to repeat that discussion here. Notice that verses 17 and 18, the three questions Jesus asks, aren't really addressed to the grateful Samaritan, but underscore the point of the story. The first question reminds us that all of the 10 were healed, not just this one. Second, Jesus asks about the other 9. Where are they? What does their failure to return praising God say about them? Were they so caught up in their good fortune that they failed to see God's hand in their healing? Or were they so intent on being obedient they missed the opportunity? Were they thinking that their healing had something to do with their obedience instead of God's mercy? The third question underscores the importance of giving praise and gratitude to God. Jesus highlights the gratitude of the Samaritan by referring to him as this foreigner. The phrase brings into sharp focus the common disdain for Samaritans in contrast to the Samaritan's response to God. In this way, this story is a companion piece to the parable of the Good Samaritan and the healing of Naaman, who also was a foreigner who returned to give glory and thanks to God. The idea is that the proper response is not, I received healing because I was obedient, but that I received healing because God had mercy on me. At verse 19, we have a formula blessing seen elsewhere at chapter 7, verse 50, at chapter 8, verse 48, and at chapter 18, verse 42. In this case, the leper's faith is not expressed by his request for help, but by his gratitude and praise of God. In conclusion, the other 9 lepers had been healed, but the one who returned to give praise received Jesus' declaration of salvation. The others got what they wanted, but this one received more than he had dreamed of asking for. Faith, like gratitude, is our response to the grace of God as we have experienced it. For those who are aware of God's grace, all of life is infused with a sense of gratitude, and each encounter becomes an opportunity to see and respond in the spirit of the grateful leper. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care, and God bless.